Magandang gabi ho sa inyong lahat and welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Alvin Litonum and I serve as the pastor ng iglesyang ito. Again, I'd just like to echo a couple of announcements na nabanggit kanina ni Bon. Unang-una, we will have a gathering para sa ating mga singles. So that will be tomorrow, Saturday, at around 5 p.m. ang meeting place po dun ho sa Liwan. If you think you have not communicated, nag-interested kayo sumama, so we encourage you, hindi pa huli ang lahat. Aaron will be at the back later after service. Aaron, can you please stand so they can see your handsome face? Ayan. Si Aaron po yan, just approach him. Bigla siya umupo, no? And after the service, lapitan niyo siya kung interested po kayo. He'll give you directions. Also, on February 19th, ayan po, that is, I think a Wednesday. Saturday po yon. Crossroads will be celebrating on faithfulness natin sa Panginoon for the past 4 years. We have covenanted as a church noong February 16th, noong 2018. So since Saturday, magpo-fall ang 19th, doon po tayo mag-gather and to enjoy fellowship and praises sa ating Panginoon. We are continuing our sermon series on the book of Genesis and we are zeroing in sa isa sa mga patriarchs na ang pangalan niya ay si Abram, which later on, papalitan ng kanyang pangalan na Abraham. From the past weeks of our study, we have seen God calls this man from being a moon worshiper to a altar maker, Yahweh worshiper man. So binago ng Panginoon ang kanyang buhay nung tinawag siya. We have also discovered that our hero of faith is not sinless. And we have witnessed how his faith had faltered o pumalpak. The good news is, he did not stay in his faithless state. Hindi siya nanatili sa panlalamig, hindi siya nanatili sa pagtalikod sa Panginoon, but instead, went back. He went back to call God's name and once again started walking by faith and not by sight. Ngayong gabi, we will see how this man's faith flourishes as he faces conflict o suliranin sa kanyang buhay. Conflict from powerful outside forces. And how God uses this circumstance in order to be true to his promise and to build up his servant's faith. Mga kaibigan, mari nandito kayo ngayong gabi na ito, and if you are facing conflicts or attacks from the enemy, rest assured that God uses these as means to build up your faith. God uses conflicts to strengthen his servant's faith. God uses conflicts to strengthen his servant's faith. We have divided itong passage na ito, was read well by our brother Joel, into two. Number one, conflict and captivity, verses 1 to 12. And number two, rescue and restoration, verses 13 hanggang 14. Number one, conflict and captivity. Basahin po natin muli ang verses 1 hanggang 11. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, these kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemaber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zor. And all these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Kedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Kedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and defeated Rephaim in Ashtaroth, Karnaim in Zuzim, in Ham, the Imim in Shiveh Kiryataim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir, and as far as Elparan on the border of the wilderness. Verse 7, they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites, also the Amorites, who were dwelling in Hazazon, Admah, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zor, went out and joined battle in the valley of Siddim. Verse 9. With Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits, and as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. Ano po nangyayari dito? Mari, yun ang tanong ninyo. Ang chapter 14, ang kauna-unahang nabanggit ang salitang gera or warfare po sa Bible among nations. Dahil palala ng palala ang kasalanan ng tao dito, ganun din kalala ng palala ang kanilang hunger for power, dominance, riches, and renown. Kaya sa verses 1 to 11, we see powerful nations form coalitions in order to plunder and conquer other nations. Yun po ang ginagawa nila rito. May dalawang coalitions of kings who are at war towards each other. No, hatiin po natin yung dalawang grupo na ito into two. Yung isa tatawagin po natin Eastern Kings. Ayan, at isa naman po ay ang Western Kings. So lumalabas po ang East versus West. Ang lineup ng kings sa East ay sila Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, Raphael, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, and Tidal, king of Goim. Ang lineup naman ng kings sa West ay sila Ber, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Adma, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and Zor, king of Bela. Ang limang cities na sinasakupan ng limang kings na ito ng West ay tinatawag na vassal states or petty states. Now, ano ibig sabihin ng vassal states or petty states? This means sila po ay sumasailalim sa otoridad ng apat na hari na ito. In short, sinakop po sila. So, pinanatili sila bilang mga hari ron pero mga puppet king. Okay? Yun po ang kanilang simula. At ang pinaka leader ng Eastern Kings ay si Kedorlaomer. Siya po yung hari at siya ang pinakamakapangyarihan sa apat na ito. Ang mga vassal states na ito ay nagbabayad ng tribute sa mga kings na ito, gaya ng gold, silver, ang mga produce ng kanilang lupa, ang kanilang mga livestock, at ginagawa nila ito for the past 12 years. 12 years sila naglilingkod sa mga hari na ito. At sa ika-13th year, hindi na nila kaya. Hindi na natin kukonsintihin to, tayo ay magre-rebelde. At dito makikita ang unang sagupaan, yung round 1. Nagrebelde yung limang kings na ito. Kaya nung ika-14th year ni King Kedorlaomer, along with 3 kings sa east, pinarusahan niya yung limang cities na kung saan sinasakupan ng limang hari na ito. Dahil sa kanilang rebellion. Makikita niyo sa verse 5 to 6. So, ang ginawa naman ng limang hari na ito sa West, kinaharap na yung apat na hari na ito ng East sa Valley of Siddim in battle. So, in short, makikita sa verses 9 to 10, at nangyari na yung second round ng digmaan. Finally, eto na yon. At walang kahirap-hirap, tinalo ng grupo ni Kedorlaomer ang limang kings ng West. Ganun ang kapangyarihan na itong mamang to. Kaya nag-retreat ang hari ng Sodom at saka Gomorrah, leaving their cities unprotected and helpless. Kaya naman po, ang ari-arian at kayamanan ng Sodom and Gomorrah ay lahat ay natangay. Kasama ang mga tao. If nandito kayo kasama namin last week, siguro maaalala ninyo yung lesson. Ito ang tanong ko, sino ang kakalipat lang sa Sodom? Sino? Very good. Si Lot, ang pamangkin ni Abraham. Last week nakita natin na dahil sa todo yaman ni Abraham, dahil sa todo yaman din ni Lot, hindi nila kayang magsama sa isang lugar dahil yung lupain na kanilang sinasakupan ay hindi sila kayang paglingkuran, ika nga. Sobrang dami ng kanilang livestock, nag-aagawan na sila sa damo, sa tubig, sa pwesto ng pagpapahingahan ng mga hayop na ito. So, hindi nila kaya magsama sa isang lugar. So, ano po ang suggestion ni Abraham? Sinabi niya sa kanyang pamangkin na pumili ka na lang ng kahit anong lugar sa lupain na yan, pumili ka at kung ano man ang piliin mo, tateliwas ako ng direksyon at doon ako mananahan. Kung saan mo gusto, doon ako sa kabila. At ganun na po nangyari. Pinili ni Lot ang Jordan Valley where it was green, fertile, and well-watered yung lupa. At kinuha niya lahat yon. Wala siyang tinira sa uncle niya. Now, sa verse 12 ng chapter 13, Moses gives his readers, so si Moses ang nagsusulat po nito. Moses gives his readers, Moses gives us, ngayong panahon na ito, a hint that Lot made a bad choice. Lot made a terrible decision. He was not living by faith, he was living by sight. Balik po tayo sa Genesis chapter 13, verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Lot chose what he think is good. He saw the land was good, but he didn't care if the place is a place of wickedness and evil. He doesn't care na ma-expose ang kanyang asawa at kanyang anak sa ganitong klaseng komunidad. Wala siyang pakialam doon. Hindi niya nakikita na pwedeng mapahamak ang kinabukasan ng kanyang mga mahal sa buhay. Ang nakikita lang niya ay yung matabang lupa na pwede niyang tirahan at yung attractiveness ng Sin City ng Sodom. So sa kalagitnaan ng transition niya sa lugar na ito ay nagkaroon ng kasagsagan ng gera. Nakikita po ba natin? Now, let me back up a little bit. I want you to go back again to chapter 13, verse 12. According po sa Christian Standard Bible, he set up his tent near Sodom. Tapos kung pupunta naman tayo sa chapter 14, verse 12, Lot was dwelling in Sodom. Napansin niyo ba yan? Nakikita po ba natin ang progression dito? Una, nagandahan siya sa lugar. Ang ganda. Di ba sabi sa verse 8, he looked up his eyes. His eyes looked up the valley. Ganda. Tapos, tumira siya malapit sa lugar na ito. Lumagpas pa siya sa Promised Land, tumabi siya sa Sodom. Tapos, doon na siya tumira sa loob ng Sin City later on. At doon na siya napahamak. Dahan-dahan papasok. Nung tinalo ng kings from the east ang hari ng Sodom at ni-raid ang kanilang lugar, tingnan po ninyo ang nangyari sa sitwasyon ni Lot. Verse 12 ng chapter 14. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Friends, do you see the pattern dito? The pattern of sin. Nagsimula sa bad choice. Sumama sa bad company. At dahil po dyan, as a result, bad consequences po ang nangyari. Hindi lang siya, kundi buong pamilya niya was taken captive. Mga kaibigan, karamihan sa lahat ng mga kinapahamak natin sa ating buhay ay nagsimula sa inosenteng tingin. O kaya naman, marangal na hangarin. Diyan po nagsisimula yan. It starts with a look or a thought. Then we gaze upon it, flirted with the idea a little bit, made what seems like a harmless step. Then we take it or run with it, become enslaved by it. And now we have nothing but devastation and regrets. Ganyan po mag-attract ang kasalanan, ang kaaway. Iniiwanan tayong sugatan. This is how a person gets stuck in an adulterous, immoral relationship. This is how a person gets hooked on drugs and alcohol. This is how a person napapaon sa utang. This is how a young person gets in trouble with a lot of things and now hesitates to tell their parents because of the fear that they might hurt them. This is how a person gets consumed by wealth and prosperity and yung feeling and sense that it is not enough. Mga kaibigan, ang ating trabaho, ang ating tahanan, ang ating mga kaperahan, pamilya, relationships, ari-arian, and even our means of recreation ay mga regalo na galing sa Panginoon na gusto ng Panginoon na enjoyin natin. Enjoyin po natin. Ngunit, kung ang mga bagay na ito ay nagiging pangunahin sa ating buhay or takes primacy in our lives, when it becomes the ultimate love in our lives, this is now idolatrous. Ito na ngayon ay nagiging Diyos-Diyosa na sa ating buhay. Friends, if you are caught up to the cravings of the sinful passions of this world, and you say that you are a Christian and live a lifestyle of divulging worldly passions, maybe we need to rethink kung nga ba talaga ay anak ng Diyos. Sobra ka naman mag-judge, Pastor. Hindi ho, kasi sinabi yan sa 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Basahin ko po sa kanila. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world. Lot's decision had placed his family in a bad situation. Very bad. Christians, your children, your parents, your relatives, your colleagues, your classmates, your neighbors will have a difficult time understanding your Bible lessons, biblical advice and teachings if you live the very opposite of what you are professing. Because at times, they only see your life and how you lived it. The very thing that Lot desired from Sodom is security, wealth, protection, and a good future. Lahat ng ito, wala na. Lahat ng kanyang, lahat ng pag-asa na kung saan inaangkla niya sa mga bagay na ito ay lahat overnight nawala. Dahil sinakop ang Sodom. Because he has placed his hope on the wrong things. He placed his hope on temporal things. Nakikita po natin ang comparison nito kay Abram. Abram chose to put his hope in God. God now is his reward. God is also his rewarder. Yan po ang tingin niya sa Panginoon. Listen, ang dominance ng powerful nations na ito, ang gera na nangyayari po at ang pagdakip kay Lot, lahat ng yan, pati kasamang kanyang pamilya, ay bahagi sa plano ng Panginoon to fulfill His promise to Abram to make his name great, to give him descendants, and to be a blessing. And mga kaibigan, this is a glimpse kung anong itsura nung sinabi ng Panginoon, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. This is the picture, a glimpse sa anong ginagawa ng Panginoon. Lahat ng mga kings na ito, kung naglalaro kayo ng chess, ay mga pawns lang sa grand plan ng Panginoon to build His chosen man, Abram, and to fulfill His promise through him that will benefit His people. Sa panahon nila, ang nakikita nilang big deal po dito ay yung gera. Yung po yung big deal na nakikita nila rito, yung gera na ito. Gera na kung saan nagagarap ng mga kings. Pero sa mata po ng Diyos, ang big deal sa kanya ay ang pag-build up ng pananampalataya ng kanyang lingkod na si Abraham. At sa providence niya, ginagamit niya ang lahat ng ito in order to accomplish His will. Ang laki, ano, big time. Gera nangyayari. Pero sa Panginoon, instrumento lang yan. Kung titingnan ninyo, yung first few 1 to 11 paves the way para kay Abraham talaga eh. Hindi, if we take out lessons about sa area na ito, then we don't want to allegorize. Kasi backdrop lang to eh. Para kanino? Kay Abraham. Isang malaking paalala po sa atin to, mga kapatid. Sa mga nababalitaan natin sa mundo natin ngayon. Minsan nakikita natin, big deal ang digmaan ng mga naririnig-rinig natin. Big deal, minsan, yung nagaganap na mismong tong COVID na ito. No? Big deal, ang stabilidad ng ekonomiya natin. Ano mangyayari sa atin dito? Big deal, yung mga problema kami sa finances. Big deal, itong karamdaman na ito. Big deal, mawawala na ako ng trabaho. Big deal, anong gagawin ko sa buhay ko? Hindi ko na alam. Hindi ko naman po sinasabi na hindi dapat tayo maging concerned sa mga bagay nito. We should. Pero di kaya, sa mata ng Diyos, ang big deal sa Kanya ay ang pag-build up at pag-strengthen ng pananampalataya ng Kanyang lingkod? At sa providence niya ay ginagamit niya ang lahat ng ito ng pinagdadaanan natin as bilang pamilya, pinagdadaanan natin personal sa ating buhay in order to strengthen our faith, in order for us to cling to Christ even more, for us to look how beauty, ang beauty ng Panginoon at hindi yung kalagayan na ito. The building that He's building, our faith in Him. Pag dumating po ang problema, kasi lahat ng solutions parang wala ng kwenta, hindi po ba? The design is to rely on Christ and His promises. So God has set up this war of the kings and the abduction of His nephew in order to build Abraham's faith. Of course, for the greater purpose of protecting yung descendants na darating kay Abraham. So, sa sitwasyon na to, anong ginawa ni Abraham? Tingnan natin yung number 2. Rescue and restoration. Verse 13. Then one who had escaped came and told Abraham, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. There were allies of Abraham. Nakita natin sa Genesis chapter 13 ang faithlessness at kaduwagan ni Abraham by deceiving si Pharaoh, putting his wife and the promised descendants in danger. In short, yung faith ni Abraham sa chapter 13 had failed him. It was a big discouragement. Now dito, sa verse 14, itong mamang na to, may isang mamang nakatakas sa verse 13, nakatakas sa pagkadakip kasama ni mismo ni Lot, ang pumunta kay Abraham at kinuwento niya lahat yung nangyari sa kanyang kamag-anak. Now, if we're to pause dito, kung isipin natin, na itong situation na ito seems like another trial. Another opportunity for Abraham either to trust the Lord or to be a faithless coward. To walk by faith or to walk by sight. Hindi ba parang sineset up ulit itong situation na ito? Siyempre sinabi niya, yung mga hari ng West ang dumakip, ng East. Kilalang kilala yun sa lugar nila. Pero tingnan natin kung ano ginawa niya. Verse 14. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan, and he divided his forces against them by night. He and his servants and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Verse 16, then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the woman and the people. This time po, hindi na nagdalawang isip si Abram. Agad-agad niyang hinanda ang kanyang mga tao who probably were trained to fight or skilled men who are able to protect his possessions. Tanda mo, siya po'y mayaman na mama at marami siya pinangalagaan. Marami ito yung mga mama na kung saan trained for this, to protect it. With this small army, inikuta nila yung kampo ni Kedorlaomer and made a simultaneous attack nung gabi. Itong simultaneous attack nung gabi na yun probably confused the enemies at di lang nila tinalo ang kaaway kung hindi hinabol pa nila hanggang sa dulo ng Damascus. In short, nanalo po sila. Itong apat na kings na to at ang kanilang army na kung saan hindi matinag for the past 13 years, tinalo ng 318 men. Di ba na makamangha po yun? Hindi lang po yun, nakuha niya lahat ang kanyang pamangkin, ang kanilang mga tao, mga ari-arian, plus yung mga ibang lahi, nakuha na kanaligtas din. Mga kaibigan, wag po nating maliitin ang ginawa ni Abraham dito. Ang army ni King Kedorlaomer ay ang pinakamabangis sa buong land. Tuta niya yung mga limang hari. Actually, walo. Kasama yung kasamahan niya. Siya yung leader eh. Pero 318 men? Isang matanda ang leader? Isipin niyo na lang. Bakit, Pastor, mala Samson ba lahat ng mga sundalo ni Abraham? Yung ba yun? 300 men? Yung ba yun? No! Hindi. Anong dahilan? Because God is a covenant-keeping God. Do you see yung beauty ni God dito? He was keeping His promise to Abram. Pinakita niya sa verse 1 to 11 kung gaano kababangis ang mga hari na to. Pinakita ng Panginoon kung gaano kalakas siya sa remaining verses because of the covenant. Hindi dahil magaling ang leadership skills na kung sa okay lang, divide tayo into ano. Actually, kung you will do the math, yung 318 divided by 4, mga 79.5, isipin mo, siguro hindi yun ang strategy. Well, yeah, we can see yung strategy rito, yes. Pero kung isipin mo, tig 79 bawat isang hari kasi apat yung hari, di ba? Isipin mo, tig 79. I mean, wala naman nasusulat dito, pero just imagine, divide. But it's not about strategies. It's not about the strength of the soldiers. It's not about the wits of the old man. It is God. God who is working in and through him. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng Genesis 12:3-13. I will bless those who will bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Moses, when he wrote this, is reminding God's people. Kinikwento niya ito. Remember, sila ay nasa wilderness wandering from Egypt, mga alipin. They are now a new people. Wala pa sila sa promised land. They have the law, pero they don't know who God is really. And here comes Moses introducing God to them, who protects his people. Ito yung ninuno ninyo. Pero huwag nyo tignan yung ninuno nyo. Tignan nyo yung Diyos ng ninuno ninyo. Nakakamangha po ito. Moses, when he wrote this, is reminding God's people na kung ano man ang mangyari, whoever attacks God's covenant people, God will retaliate. Moses is encouraging the faith of his listeners that they can trust this covenant-keeping God who is faithful and will rescue them in time of need. Remember, they are a people. Walang pader. They're susceptible for for attacks from other nations. And here comes Moses, he's saying, you can trust this covenant-keeping God. Be secured. Friends, like Lot, we too, like Lot, we too desire a Sodom. Our fallen tendency is to trust on the things and people that we see can provide us comfort, security, prosperity, and salvation, even though alam natin na mali na ang pupuntahan natin. And maybe some of us continue to live our lives ng ganito. Kung makapit sa patilim, isusugal ang buhay kahit ito'y illegal o mali. Mga kaibigan, ganito po ang buhay kapag ang Diyos natin, kapag ang Diyos na sinasamba natin ay ang ating sarili. We make ourselves the rescuer of our lives. Maaning naririto po kayo ngayon, at totoo po ito sa inyong sarili. Maaring nairaos mo na yung suliranin na kinaharap mo sa mga kapamamaraanan mo. Maaring may nakaharap kang kapahamakan, ginawa mo ng paraan at dahil dyan, naging okay ka at yun ang naging buhay mo ever since. Sarili mong diskarte, hindi ko kailangan ng Diyos, kailangan ko yung iba in order to meet my end, the ends. Ngunit, mga kaibigan, may isang kapahamakan na hindi mo kayang mairaos mag-isa. Hindi mo kayang mairaos sa pamamagitan ng iyong kapamamaraanan. At ito po ang kaparusahan sa kasalanan na nagmumula sa isang banal na Diyos. Friends, Abram and his rescue mission points to a greater rescue mission. It points to a greater rescuer. And that is a rescue from sin's captivity, and that greater rescuer is Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that God sent Him to set the captives free. Sinong captives? Sino mga nalipin? Ang lahat ng tao sa kasalanan, pinadala ang kanyang anak upang palayain sa kasalanan. Ang kasalanan po ay nang aalipin. Yun ang dahilan kung bakit nahihirapan tayo matulog sa gabi, iniisip na hindi ko kaya baguhin ang aking sarili. Yan ang alipin ng kasalanan. And you tried to change. You tried from one religion after another. You tried to do the self-help books. You tried to involve yourself with other people. You tried to isolate yourself in hopes to change. Hindi po natin kayang gawin yan. Yung kapamamaraanan at diskarte natin, hindi tayo kaya baguhin, hindi tayo kayang iligtas. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus, who lived an obedient life, obedient to God the Father. He was faithful. His faith did not falter. He was so perfect and so holy and so faithful, He becomes the faithful, perfect sacrifice when He was nailed on that cross. For you. For me. Namatay si Kristo para sa kasalanan mo at kasalanan ko. Kasi alam niyang hindi natin kayang baguhin ang ating sarili. And He died receiving the full wrath of God na dapat na tayo yon, dapat tayo ang patay. The great exchange happened, was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave. At kung sino man na magsisisi sa kanyang kasalanan, tatalikod, ilalagay ang kanyang pananampalataya sa ginawa ni Kristo sa krus, magkakaroon po ng buhay na walang hanggan. Magkakaroon po ng kapatawaran. Ito po ang dahilan kung bakit pinagkakaingat-ingatan ng Panginoon ang lahi ni Abraham. So that you too will become the children of Abraham. So that we can be one family and become the family of God. That's why He is faithful. He is drawing you and me to Himself in a saving way. Mga kaibigan, huwag na tayo magpatuloy sa kasalanan. Dali
kurang mo na yan. Pagod ka na eh. Ilagay mo ang pananampalataya mo kay Kristo. Sa mga Kristiyano,
as Christians, we will always face conflict. Conflict against the enemy, si Satan. Not the kings of this world, kundi si Satan. And we must be ready. Bukod kay Satan, nandyan din yung mga kahinaan natin. At minsan, sabay po umaatake yan. And minsan, we feel like, ako ba talaga ay Kristiyano? That's a good question to ask. Pero minsan, feeling natin, mga Kristiyano, tayo talunan. God has given us weapons or means for us to grow and protect ourselves from sin. Sabi na, we must be ready to arm ourselves with a weapon of spiritual warfare na kung saan God has provided. At talaga nagbigay ba ng armas ang Panginoon? Opo, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 13. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Pansin nyo ba, be strong. Hindi niya sinabing magpalakas kayo. Be strong saan? In the Lord. Kasi hindi mo kaya eh. Hindi ko rin kaya. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Friends, let us continue to fight as faithful and obedient soldiers of Jesus Christ. Yan pinagdadaanan ninyo at pinagdadaanan ko ay kung ikaw ay anak ng Diyos, ay pinagtitibay niya ang pananampalataya mo sa Kanya. Sometimes He takes away barriers so that isa lang ang makikita nating focus siya lang. Removing all distractions. It hurts, yes. Yes. But all the more that we must trust the Lord, hindi ba? All the more. And bilang mga Christian soldiers, kadalasan po sugatan tayo eh. When we say fight sin, kaya nang sinabi na aking brother, elder, hindi lahat ng pagkakataon ay panalo ka. Kaya nga fight eh. That was an encouraging statement coming from Pastor John in our conversation. Hindi lahat ng labanan ay panalo. Especially when you're trusting in yourselves. There are times that you are walking in faithfulness, pero sugatan ka pa rin. Because enemy will attack you. Let us be reminded, kung tayo yan, let us be reminded of this truth na narinig natin. And one of the ways we are reminded of this truth is encouraging one another, reading God's Word, being together in this gathering. Thank you so much if this is your first time. We as a Crossroads try to come here to glorify God as a church and to encourage and build up one another. We remind one another of the gospel. We need to keep reminding and keep on reminding each other of the gospel of Christ's cross and empty tomb. And tonight we have that wonderful opportunity to see a visual reminder of the gospel of Jesus Christ through communion. Ang communion ay ang pangalawang ordinansa na pinagkaloob ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga anak. It is an ongoing celebration of the unity that we enjoy together in Christ. Paano? Through His death and resurrection. Sa communion, ang tinapay ay larawan ng katawan ni Jesus that was laid down as a sacrifice, at ang saro o ang kopa symbolizes His blood that was shed for us para sa ating kaligtasan. Ngayong gabi na ito, meron po tayong pribileyo na i-celebrate itong wonderful meal na to na magkakasama bilang pamilya. Bagamat nagbigay po ng instructions at nagbigay po ng babala ang Panginoon Hesukristo kung sino lamang ang pwedeng kumain at uminom sa communion na ito. At babasahin ko po sa atin sa 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 29. Kaya ang sino man kumakain ng tinapay at umiinom sa kopa ng Panginoon sa parang hindi nararapat, ay nagkakasala sa katawan at dugo ng Panginoon. Kaya't dapat siyasatin ng tao ang kanyang sarili bago siya kumain ng tinapay at uminom sa kopa. Verse 29, sapagkat ang sino mang kumakain at umiinom ng hindi kinikilala ang kahalagahan ng katawan ng Panginoon ay kumakain at umiinom ng kahatulan laban sa kanyang sarili. Friends, if you are here tonight and you have repented from your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we encourage you to join us in this meal. Pero kung hindi pa po o hindi kayo tiyak, we encourage you to let the bread and cup pass you. Bagamat ikaw po ay membro na sa ibang iglesia, you're welcome to come and join us. Pero kung ikaw ay member na iglesia to o member ng ibang iglesia at tayo po ay nasa kalagitnaan ng kasagsagan ng kasalanan, we encourage you to let the bread and cup pass muna. And spend this time meditating. Pagbulay-bulayan natin ang salita ng Diyos. At hayaan nating siyasatin ng Panginoon ang ating puso upang ipakita sa atin kung meron ba tayong mga nagawa o nasabi na hindi naaayon sa kanyang kaluwalhatian. Scripture warns us that there are severe consequences for those who take the meal, which symbolizes our unity, while at the same time holding on to sin divides our unity sa body in Christ. Now, before we take part ng communion na ito, and kung first time nyo po rito, welcome kayo mag-join us. I am instructed, mamaya po magsuserve ang mga ushers natin, and we encourage you na huwag nyo munang kainin o inumin. Sabay-sabay po natin ito kakanin at iinumin bilang simbolo po ng unity na meron po tayo. Pero bago po yan, let us all be silent, take this moment of silence, and meditate on the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. For those of you who are interested to know how the world began, please stay sa ating Genesis class.